And I'm so glad to be able to share this brief message on the topic of our theme, Your Kingdom Come. Look at Matthew chapter 6. And this is a teaching that Jesus gave his own disciples. In the midst of him teaching them, he said in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, this version says, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this was a teaching on prayer. And what we normally call the Lord's Prayer, it really is the disciples' prayer, properly understood. But notice in verse 10, again it said in Matthew 6 and 10, that he says, your kingdom come, your will be done. And that scripture gives us the context and reason why we pray and why we live for the Lord today. I'm going to read a story to you from Tony Evans. Dr. Evans wrote in a book and shared this story. I want to share it with you. It says, one day a man was on his way to spend a day with a good friend who lived on a farm. When the man reached the farm, he turned onto the long winding road that led to the farmhouse. On the way, he had to pass by the barn. And as he drove by the barn, he stopped and got out because he saw something that both amazed and stupefied him. Drawn on the side of the barn were 20 targets in the red, white, black in the middle. Each target had a hole right through the center of its bullseye. There were no other holes anywhere on that barn or on the targets. Whoever had been using that barn for target practice was definitely a crack shot. The visitor couldn't believe it. He got back in his car and drove up to his friend's house and said, John, before we do anything else, I've just got to ask you, who in the world did the shooting on the side of your barn? John said, oh, that was me. His friend replied, I can't believe anybody can shoot that well. We're talking about 20 targets and 21 dead center bullseye shots. You mean you did that? John said, made every shot. Where in the world did you learn to shoot like that? John's friend asked. It was easy. I shot first, then I drew a target around the bullet hole. I shared a story a couple years ago. So the reason he had seemingly put the bullet in the bullseye of every single shot against 20 targets was shoot first, then draw the target around the shot. Now, what that describes is what I would call inauthentic living. The kingdom of God is about authentic living. In the kingdom of God, we struggle, we stumble, we learn from mistakes, we don't get it right every time. Authentic living is that the people who love God and serve God seek Him and trust Him, and He helps us. And we learn to shoot or walk or work or talk or live. We learn it through our struggles. We don't have a bullseye and a target. We haven't hit the target. We've not hit the target in the center every time. I would say there's so we began our Christian lives wildly missing the target. But as we listen to the Word of God, follow Jesus, pray, and as His kingdom come, and as His will is being done in us, then we learn to live authentically in reality, and we get better. We get closer and closer to the target. Amen? Amen. And there comes a time when you do hit the target almost all the time. But it came because of your desire to follow God. Amen? Amen. So I read that story to support that scripture, because the disciples certainly showed us they were men who were authentic in their struggles and whom God helped tremendously, every single one of them, including Peter. Peter was probably the most hot-headed, impetuous one, but God helped them all. Amen? They all became fine men because of what God did. So I want to today, in this teaching, I want to encourage us in the same way that Your kingdom come, Lord, and Your will be done is to us an opportunity to learn and to grow and become better. What else can you ask? Because none of us are perfect. None of us, even after all these years, we get better, but we're not perfect. Amen. Amen. And nor are we perfectionists, by the way. Amen. You know, going for perfection is a good thing, but being a perfectionist is a disorder. A perfectionist is never satisfied. I didn't hit it dead center. But man, you're in the center. You know, we're not talking. Authentic people know that anywhere close to the center of God's will is where I want to be. Now, life is lived one way or another, which is why Jesus taught what He taught and said, don't be like them. Like those who pray in the street corners, who pray to be heard, you know, who shoot and then draw targets around what they hit, all right? He said, don't be like them. He says, in essence, that the thing that we have learned from Christ is the importance of doing things the right way. Even if doing it the right way doesn't make you more popular, doesn't make you more prosperous at first, even if doing it the right way doesn't garner you fame and fortune, but you will please God and you'll be authentic. You can live with yourself. You know, the reason that people who struggle to do things well do that is because ultimately they have a sense of not only what God wants for them, but they have a sense of their own standards. For example, in the game of golf, you know, golf is the only game where you call a penalty on yourself. What a golfer does is this, I mean, a true golfer, if he or she is out there in the middle of the fairway and the ball is lying there on the grass and no one's around them and they put the club down and touch the ball a little bit, that's a penalty. And in a tournament play, a real golfer will give himself a one-stroke penalty. He'll tell his partner, man, I touched the ball out there, so I'm down one stroke now. Yeah, who does that, you know? But now, of course, a lot of guys don't do it. I play with guys sometime who take what's called a mulligan. You know what a mulligan is? Here's a mulligan. You heard the term mulligan before? Mulligan? Okay. A mulligan is this. A mulligan is when you hit a shot and the shot goes out of bounds or it's a bad shot and you say, oh, man, I'll take a mulligan. And I'll put another ball up and hit a second ball. As if the first one didn't go out of bounds, okay? It's called a mulligan. But now, you know, when you're playing by yourself for practice, it's one thing. Now, you play with guys, this is my, I had the experience, a guy taking mulligans. I don't take mulligans. If it goes out, it's a two-stroke penalty. You know, drop it, hit the next ball, okay? So, played one time with a guy who took mulligans at the end of the round. He said, hey, man, what'd you get? What's your score? What's my score? Yeah, man, I got this. You didn't get that. That wasn't your score. I said, you took mulligans. You may as well stop scoring when you start taking mulligans because you're disqualified in real tournament golf. Now, it was a lighthearted thing, wasn't a big deal at all. But it's funny how people are willing to hit the target or shoot at something and draw a target around it. That is not authentic living. Now, we all, I mean, listen, y'all, don't take this too far. Don't get critical with this. I'm just saying, for you and your own heart and your own mind, you got to decide what you will or won't do. And no one can judge you. Only God and you can judge yourself. Amen? So then I say, and I encourage you to live in an authentic way, in a manner in which you'll let God help you. Hence the phrase, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now listen, if we're going to live that way, you don't have to play mulligans. See, if you let God's kingdom come, if you let his will be done, he'll teach you, he'll train you, he'll make you better. Won't have to cut corners. That's why we serve God, because through all of our shortcomings and struggles, his kingdom is still working in us. On your worst, most difficult days, on the day when you fail and come very short, the scripture does not change. The prayer doesn't change. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. So when Minister F got up and said, I forgot my notes. I don't have my notes. I'm like, that don't mean anything to God. Because you got God. Amen. You want to have your notes. I listen, y'all, all of us preachers have gone somewhere and didn't bring our notes. Now, here's the instruction, Minister Epps. You don't tell anybody. You don't have to. Because God's in that. He's in it. He's in everything, amen, like that. So what you do is just you gather yourself. And if you had, listen, if you had brought that lesson and not told us, we never would have known. It was anointed. It was on point. It was full of God's grace. Amen. Because his kingdom come, his will be done. And he didn't say, if you have your notes. He didn't add that in there. We want to bring our notes. I know that. But if something happens, see, that's why we serve God. We are not trusting in ourselves. Even in our shortcomings and mistakes and missing things, it's the same principle at work. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen? And I purposed years ago, if I forgot my notes or something and I couldn't remember the message, I just began praying. I would pray and exhort because I have to believe, even in my mistakes. Listen, y'all, I don't say it's God's will that you left your notes. I'm just saying even when we miss it, that's fine. Because the kingdom of God is at work. Let him work. Let his kingdom come. Let his will be done. In earth, in me. Now the scripture. I'm almost done. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Now kingdom, God's kingdom provides the foundation and framework for authentic living. I've learned one thing over all these years. I've been serving God. 36 years of pastoring, 40 years of ministry. I've learned, like I said earlier, It's most important to do things the right way, as you understand it. Just make that the priority. Lord, is this your way? Is this your will? Am I treating people right? Am I being honest before you and before man? Because even if people think you have failed, it doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter what they say. People say all kind of stuff. People will talk about you. People, you know, you get talked about. I get talked about. Everybody talks about you. But that doesn't change. It shouldn't change your heart, and it shouldn't prevent you from realizing that his kingdom always comes. His will is always done in earth, in me. If heaven stops working, then maybe I'd be concerned. I mean, if heaven ceased to operate, we have trouble on earth. Amen. You know, I travel more than the average person, and I travel. I like to fly, and I used to like flying. You know, I liked it when you had more room. Amen. They made everything the seats now are less leg room. They pack us in like sardines. They just pack us in there. You know, just pack us in. It's yes, they do. I got a witness. But if the flight is bumpy, you know, I just look at somebody who I perceive as a frequent flyer. If they don't look worried, I'm not going to be worried. See, infrequent flyers think of, it bumped. The plane can do a barrel roll and go upside down, come right, and back up again. They can do that. They won't do it with you in it, but they can do that. The plane can do that. The wings can bend way up like this and down like that and not break off. They can do that. You don't want to see that or experience it. And that would make the frequent flyer go, whoa, wait a minute. I'm a frequent flyer. My point is this. You need to know God's got you. His kingdom has come. You don't, listen, y'all, you haven't prayed that prayer all your Christian life for it not to be working right now for you. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. You haven't prayed that all these years for it not to be happening every moment of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. That's how I look at everything in life and ministry, the ups, the downs, disappointments, heartbreaks. Doesn't matter. Because his kingdom is still working. And that video, you know, you can see just in the past 12 months what God has done. That's just, we've done more than that. But I'm saying that all that you see in those little pictures and clips, that just shows you, in case you thought we weren't moving as a church, or we're moving as a church, we're doing things as a church. We're doing a lot more than many others are doing. Just don't let how you feel in the moment change how you think about your life. See, Lord, I won't let how I feel at the moment change what I think about my life. Ephesians chapter 3. My phone, if you could please, Pat. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Look what he said there. This is the end of the chapter. He says, to him, God, who's able to do what? Now see, you and me are able to do a few things. Come on, somebody. We can do all this, but none of us can do exceedingly abundantly above. We can't. We're limited. But because God's unlimited, he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power working in you is the kingdom of God. There's a connection. The power working in you is the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That's the power at work in you. God's will, God's kingdom. And so the key is to get to this level. Get to the level that you can believe and know that it is according to the power that works in me. It's not about my power. Now, listen, what you do is important. Your education, your learning, your training, it's important to your job, to your life. I understand that. But you're limited. We're limited. So I've got to get to the level that says, okay, it's according to the power that works in me. That's my key right there. Now, I'll give you a way to know that God is doing that. Well, let me give you this point first. Then comes that other point. The goal, so then the key is to get to the point, to the level where you believe and you think and you say, okay, Lord, it's your power in me. Second, the goal is to get to the point where you see God doing above what you can ask or think. Now, here's the way you can know. Here's how you can know that God is doing above what you can ask or think. You're going to like this. Has God ever helped you do something and you can't remember how you did it? Has God helped you do something, helped you through a situation, and you cannot remember how you did it or how you got through it? That was God's power working in you and going above and beyond what you can think. You can't recall it. You can't redo it. It was something God did in the moment. Listen, y'all, the nurses here, Nurse Ingram and Nurse Satterwhite, is Sean. She's in physical therapy. I mean, you know, they can do the procedure over and over again. They can do it in their sleep, certain procedures, because they're trained to it. But all of us have had experiences where you did something, you can't remember how you did it or how you got through it. That's because it was the kingdom of God and the will of God and the power of God at work in you. That's how people and friends I tell, they cannot believe we paid this building off last year. In a smaller congregation, paid it off. Man, there is so much debt in a lot of churches. We were there for a season. I wouldn't say this, now mortgage debt isn't like consumer debt now. You know, you buy a meal on credit and you pay for it for 10 years, At least when you buy a mortgage, you're investing, you get something back out of it. The point is, I know, I can't, looking at our finances now, I can't see how we pay the mortgage every month. And paid everything else. And me, sometimes, I mean, I don't know how that happened. But I know how it happened. I know it's his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He does exceedingly, abundantly above all we can ask or think. According to the power that works in us. So my last point is this. So what we think and say is this. The last part of the prayer, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We got a slide on that one? I'm not sure. I don't know if we do. Okay. But yours, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now get your mind around that. Get your heart around the fact that you're not living this life trying to figure things out. Or you figure some things out. You have to. But really, listen to me, the bulk of your life is about things you can't figure out, but that get done, that happen. How you've progressed in your life from your early life to this point in life. We raised four children. My wife and I raised four children. Our son is here. One of our sons is here. I'm telling you all now, we raised four kids, y'all. Now, that was no small thing. I don't know how we did that. And they all, listen, y'all, and they are great people, man. They all say they're professional people, they're kind people, they're generous people. They're all good people. They're really good folk, you know what I'm saying? They're good folk, my kids, Now, I don't think we totally did that. I know we were obedient, but it had to be kingdom of God. Because a lot of kids from good families don't turn out, so to speak, turn out, right? So I'm saying that I know it's the kingdom at work in our home. I know it's how I was raised and trained. So all I'm saying is, to you, Lord, it is to you be the kingdom and the power and the glory. If you keep that perspective, then you'll be authentic in your living. And you won't have to be afraid of making mistakes. I don't fear making mistakes. Like I told you, my whole training in art school was everything was critiqued twice a week. Critiqued. And if you couldn't handle critique, you'd be crying and whining and, you know. But you learn that the critique from people who know what you're trying to do, it makes you a better person. So then what happens is that we live this lifestyle where we're open to God's instruction and correction and adjustments. And so because of that, his kingdom has come. His will is done.